Good morning, and welcome to this hour of worship, coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Our pastor, Pastor John Engwald, will be conducting the church service this morning with Mr. Ron Baker at the organ and your announcer, Ron Meyer.
Service setting one of the Divine Service is found on page 151 of the Lutheran Service Book. Our opening hymn is number 828, We Are Called to Stand Together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We read responsively the introit. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. As for me, I have set my King on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you.
Praise the Lord, all nations.
Exalting all peoples.
For great is his steadfast love toward us,
and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
But we will bless the Lord
from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son, Jesus, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may boldly confess him to be the Christ and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to life eternal, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated, and the children will please come forward for the children's lesson.
Good morning. How is everybody today? Are you sleepy? Yeah, kind of a little bit. Well, some of you have started school, right? A couple of you started school last week. You're in first grade. That's so fun. Did you know I'm going to first grade too? Yes. Well, some of you have brothers and sisters. And if you don't have brothers and sisters, you all have friends and you have cousins. Do you ever argue with any of them? Yeah, sometimes we argue with them, right? And do they sometimes say things that maybe make you mad? Yeah, or sometimes you might say things that make them mad, right? And they hope you're going to say something back. Well, everybody argues now and then. And sometimes we have to argue to stand up for what's right. But most of the times, can we avoid arguments? I think sometimes we can, maybe. Sometimes it's probably easier to argue. But sometimes, what could we do instead of arguing? We could pray to God. What else could we do? Could you just walk away and ignore him? Yeah, sometimes that helps. We just leave from the situation. Well, we can stay out of fights, and that pleases God, right? If we're not arguing, that's going to make God happy. How does he feel if we're arguing and fighting with people? Yeah, he's going to feel sad. And Jesus taught people to be peacemakers. What does it mean to be a peacemaker? To be good? What else do you think it means to be a peacemaker? To share God's love. Very good. That's right. So can you be a peacemaker at home? If your brother or sister take your toys and you want to fight about it, could you just walk away instead? What about at school? Do you think you could be a peacemaker at school? How could you be a peacemaker at school? By sharing your toys. What about if somebody says something mean to you? Do you say something mean back?
No.
That's right. You can go tell an adult, and you can let the adult solve the problem, right? Because sometimes it's better when a big person solves the problem instead of you. Well, whenever we live like Jesus did with love for others, then we can be what can you be? You're not arguing, so you're being a peace. Yep, you can be a peacemaker, and you can share God's love and avoid all those unnecessary arguments. You think you can do that this school year? What are you going to be? Are you going to be a peacemaker at school and at home or not? Are you going to be a peacemaker at school? Yes, you are. Good job. Will you fold your hands and pray with me? Dear God, help us to be peacemakers and show others to share God's love. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for this, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, is from Isaiah chapter 51. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read together the gradual. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The epistle reading is from Romans chapters 11 and 12. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the gospel. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church,
and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. And our hymn of the day is number 645, Built on the Rock.
Thank you.
mercy and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Taking time away from the crowds with his disciples, Jesus asks them, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" If he was taking a survey to find out just how effectively his message had gone out, well, Jesus would have been very much disappointed. Jesus often referred to himself as the Son of Man, which is a title heavy with meaning, especially as it draws on the prophet Daniel's vision of one as like the Son of Man, receiving from God an eternal kingdom. Who is this Son of Man? Maybe he's John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Or maybe he's the prophet Elijah or Jeremiah. Or maybe he's one of the other prophets. The majority of the people agreed that Jesus is no ordinary man. God was certainly using him mightily, but just exactly who he is and why he had come remained to them a mystery. Jesus then asked his disciples a much more pointed question. "But who do you say that I am?" It's really the essential question, isn't it? Today, just like back then, ask people, "Who is Jesus?" and you'll get a wide variety of answers, some of which may very well surprise you. Some people, of course, many people say, "Well, Jesus, he was a really, really, really great guy." Others will say that Jesus was a troublemaker, a rabble-rouser, or maybe a social justice warrior. Some will even claim that what Jesus taught was actually the principles of Buddhism. Jesus the Buddhist. Can you imagine that? A Muslim will tell you that they too believe in Jesus, and it is true that in Islam, both Jesus and the Virgin Mary are held in rather high regard. But who do they say that Jesus is? Who do they say that Jesus is? That is always the key. That is always the fundamental question. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Of course, Peter is correct in his answer. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's important to emphasize that Peter is stating this for all 12 of Jesus' disciples. This is what all 12 of them came to realize and to know. With Peter's reply, Jesus states that he is going to build his church upon this rock. Well, somewhere along the way, the Roman church took this to mean Peter, the man, and they ran with it. This was a grave mistake, which of course led to many, many other grave mistakes, all of them seated, quite literally, in the office of the Pope, from whom the Roman Church ultimately gets its doctrine, not from the Scriptures. The rock upon which the church is founded is not Peter. Peter was just like you and just like me, a mortal, fallible, sinful man, as he himself often demonstrated most vividly on the night of Jesus' betrayal and arrest. On that horrible night, as you will recall, rather than be identified as one of Jesus' disciples, Peter, on no less than 3 separate occasions, denied that he even knew Jesus. Peter, the rock, crumbled. The rock upon which the church is founded is, of course, Jesus. Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ is also our confession. Upon this rock, we stand with Peter. And just like Peter, apart from Jesus, we have nothing. No, Peter is not the rock upon which Jesus has built his church. In fact, in the original Greek, even the grammar itself makes this quite obvious. The church is founded on Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, the very Son of God. And therefore, the gates of hell most certainly shall never prevail against Christ's church. Instead, it is Jesus himself who has prevailed against the gates of hell. And he has established his eternal kingdom of grace and peace, having defeated the power of sin, the power of death, and the power of Satan over us by his cross. By his cross. Since mankind's fall, we have been separated from God. And so it was necessary for God himself to do what fallen, sinful man simply cannot. It is up to God to remove the separation. As long as we remain separated from God, we remain subject to eternal damnation, and along with it, all of the torments of hell. Sin separates us from God. Both the original sin that we have inherited from Adam and Eve, from the fall, and all of our many and constant sinful thoughts and words and deeds, which give more than enough evidence for each and every one of us that we are most certainly fallen and God's judgment against us is most certainly righteous. With the evidence laid out before him, God, the eternal judge, should simply bang the gavel, declare each and every one of us guilty, and cast us into that eternal torment reserved for Satan and his demons. But God is love, and God is mercy, and he loves you. And so God the Father sent his Son to fulfill the law which we had broken, and to suffer the judgment that each and every one of us so richly deserves. A travesty of justice, perhaps by the reasoning of man, but in fact it was God's will, his entire plan from eternity. Even before God spoke anything into existence, God already determined that all who believed in his Son would not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is the rock upon which the church is built. Jesus Christ, the one anointed to be Lord of all, and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the suffering servant who takes our guilt upon himself, upon his very shoulders, and gives us abundantly and completely his innocence. By his death and resurrection, your sins are erased from God's record. Who could imagine such a thing? Who could imagine it? Actually, none of us could, not by our own reasoning. As Jesus said to Peter, after he acknowledged him to be the Christ, "Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The people at the time who heard Jesus teaching and witnessed his miracles didn't understand. Today, the gospel goes out into all the world, and yet ask people who Jesus is, and the answers remain many and quite varied. Only when God himself enlightens us to the truth, only then do we understand and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one and only true and living God. Peter and the 12 had Jesus, the very Word of God made flesh, with them, and yet still only by divine revelation were they able to confess that Jesus is the Christ. Otherwise, they'd have been just as confused as everyone else. Today, through his Word, the Holy Scriptures, God the Holy Spirit removes our confusion and enlightens us to the truth that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is your Savior. And to his church, he gives the very keys of heaven, the law, which locks out the unbelieving, unrepentant sinner, and the beautiful, glorious gospel, which absolutely throws open the gates of heaven to everyone who repents and believes that through Jesus Christ, they are forgiven and received by God our Father as his beloved child. Who do you say that Jesus is? Truly, that is the key. That is the most important question that you will ever, ever answer. Jesus' kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. This world is passing away because of sin. Risen and ascended to heaven, Jesus, the eternal King of Kings, is coming back to receive all whose faith is in him and to establish us in the new, the eternal creation, freed from sin, freed from all of sin's effects, a paradise fully and completely restored. It's kind of exciting. That's really all that we're waiting for right now, Jesus' visible return and the restoration of the creation as it was before the fall. Meanwhile, you and I live here in that certain hope, as even now we rejoice with Peter and the apostles and prophets, along with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, in this one confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. To him be alone be all glory. Amen. We arise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven
and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Christian Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, bestow upon us your riches and wisdom. Grant us increasing knowledge of you through your word, and help us to trust in your grace and favor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, give the Church and all her servants grace to fulfill the ministries to which you have committed them. Grant each of us the strength to confess Christ boldly before the world. We pray for all mission workers, in particular Reverend Peter and Christy Kolb and Reverend David and Valerie Federwitz. Lord, in your mercy, God of compassion, Abraham was only one when you called him, but you blessed and multiplied him. Protect mothers with child and equip fathers to lead and raise their households in your fear and love. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, bless and guide our President, Congress, Governor, and all civil leaders, that they may faithfully pursue peace and unity. Give also to all judges and magistrates wisdom and the grace to pursue justice with mercy. Be with our military, police, and all public safety workers. In particular, we pray for McKenna, Drake, and Ethan. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, our God, you are our life and our length of days. Sustain and strengthen those who suffer sickness and affliction, and comfort all who mourn with the promise of everlasting life in Christ. We especially pray for Carol, Evelyn, Nolan, Lindsay, Jeanette, Millie, Norma, Roy, Ryan, Carol, Walter, Bryce, Brandy, Avery, Debbie, Reverend Dr. R. Lee Hagen, Gail, Randy and Lori, Kelly, David, Danny, Jeffrey, Brent, Mark, Mary Lou, Inez, all those whom we name silently before you in our hearts, and all those petitions which are known only to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Righteous Lord, lead us to repentance and faith, that we may not look more highly of ourselves than is, that we may not think more highly of ourselves than is right, but set our hearts and minds on the things of God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, you have redeemed us in Christ and declared us righteous and holy in him. Graciously grant that we may offer you our very selves as living sacrifices, that we may glorify you in all we think, say, and do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be merciful to us, O Lord, and hear our prayers. Grant to us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be led into all truth and be steadfast in the confession of Christ, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, I invite you to greet each other with God's peace. Teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray.
Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Our closing hymn is number 923, Almighty Father, Bless the Word. You may be seated.